Morning.
Morning.
Before we start reading the Gemara, I want to share with you something interesting I read that relates back to our discussion at the very beginning about Agadata in general. This is in a sefer called Tnuas HaMusar. It's a history of the Musar movement written by someone who was a student of the Altar of Slobodka, someone from inside the Musar movement. And he brings in volume 1, page 205, footnote number 3, a story that Rabbi Yisrael Salanter, who met a professor Helmholtz. And Professor Helmholtz said to him, "Jews are so smart. Why do you have such ridiculous stories in the Gemara, like Rabbi Barbachana Agadata is about a bird that's up to its ankles in the ocean and its head reaches the sky?" And he said, "Oh, give me a break." So Yisrael Salanter told him, says, "It's 1871. It's right after the Franco-Prussian War, when Germany was united. Germany before 1871 was just a bunch of little kingdoms, and they were united under one emperor around that time. And the king of Prussia's emblem until that time was an eagle with one head. And suddenly in 1871, the king of Prussia's emblem became an eagle with two heads. And people started writing stories and poetry about this war, this great victory. And Yisrael Salanter says, I saw a poet who wrote that the German eagle has two heads, and its head is in the city of Memel, which is in the east, and its other head is in Metz, which is on the French border. One wing is in Kiel, which is near the Danish border, and the other wing is the Bodensee, which is a lake in southern Germany. So we see that poem, we understand what it means, that Germany has spread out from, you know, the little kingdom of Prussia to cover this huge area. But imagine 1,600 years from now, somebody reads about an eagle with two heads that has one wing on the border with Russia and one wing on the border with France, it's one head on the border with Russia, one head on the border with France, and one wing on the border with Denmark, and one wing on the border with, you know, Austria, right? It's going to look ridiculous. But we know exactly what it means because we have the background information. And it's exactly the same thing with Agadata. The Chachamim, they knew what they were talking about. So it wasn't ridiculous to talk about a bird with, you know, up to its ankles in the ocean with its head reaching the sky. They knew exactly what they meant. We don't know what they mean because 1,600 years have passed. So to us, it seems ridiculous. It's the same idea that we talked about in the introduction to Agadata, but I thought it was an interesting application of it since I came across it. Okay. Mara, page 15. I mean, page Tedvav, rather. Well, it doesn't say 15, it says Tedvav. I read a story once, might be in this book too somewhere, but there's a, in some yeshiva in Europe, the Rosh Yeshiva told the custodian that when he's cleaning the boys' rooms, if you find secular books, you should burn them. And this custodian was illiterate, said, "How am I going to know?" And the Rosh Yeshiva said, "If it says Aleph, Beis, Gimel, then you know it's a sefer. If it says 1, 2, 3, you know it's a secular book." Needless to say, many Sfarim were burnt before somebody caught on that that was not a safe rule to go by. No art scroll. He didn't burn any art scrolls. Okay, page Tetvav, letter Zion. In the official Ein Yaakov, it says this letter Kuf Chaf Tet. So, Amar Rabbi Eliezer Rabbi Yossi. B'davar zez yafti sifrei kutim or tzedukim, to different versions. Reza Rabiosi says, in this manner, I proved the falsity of the books of the Kutim or Tzedukim. Shayu Omrim Ein Tchiyat HaMetim, and we'll come back and explain what that means. Shayu Omrim Ein Tchiyat HaMetim in the Torah. They used to say there's no Tchiyat HaMetim in the Torah. So might as well right now explain what that means. So the Marsha says that it would seem to mean that I proved that their Torahs are false. Since they don't believe in Tchiyas HaMesim, they made edits to their Torahs. For example, we had before the proof to Tchiyas HaMesim from the fact that it says, V'gam hakimoti et briti itam latet lahem et eretz kanan. They changed their Torah. They changed their Torahs from lahem to lachem, in order, because lahem refers to the avos. Lachem would mean to you, to Moshe and Bnei Israel that Hashem was talking to at the time. They changed their Torahs. That's ziyaf. I'm sorry, I should have read one more line in the Gemara before I explain that. So let me go back. Amarti lahem, I said to them, ziyaftim torachem ve'olitim v'etchem klum. You forged your own Torahs, and you haven't accomplished anything. What does it mean, you forged your own Torahs? On that, the Marsha is saying, okay, that they changed their Torahs. So they didn't say lahem, they said lachem in the psukim that we brought. Any pasuk that could be interpreted as referring to the avos receiving Eretz Yisrael, they changed it. That's what Marsha says would seem to me to be the meaning of this. Marsha lived in the 1500s, and he says that he's speculating about this interpretation. But David Zvi Hoffman, who was a Rosh Yeshiva, I think his title was rector of the Hildesheimer Seminary in Berlin, which was a yeshiva that combined, I don't know if it was like YU or exactly, but it combined traditional Torah study with an academic approach to Torah, and the Rosh Yeshiva there had to be qualified in both fields. But he writes, he was also a posek, and he writes in Shas and Shuvos, Chelek Gimel Siman Ayin Tet, says that the Marsha was speculating about this, says, but I've seen these Sifrei Kutim, and he says that the correct Girsa should be Kutim, because I've actually seen these books. And he confirms what the Marsha suspected, that they changed in several places, in Dvarim, Perek Aleph, Pasuk Chet, and in brings another place somewhere in here. They changed the word lahem to lachem, so that it's not referring to the avos receiving Eretz Yisrael, rather it's referring to Bnei Yisrael receiving it in order to deny Tchiyas HaMesim. Okay, so that's what they did. So Rabbi Eliezer Rabbi Yossi says, you haven't accomplished anything. You say there's no Tchiyas HaMesim from the Torah. Hare Omer, he karet tikaret nefesha hiyavon avad. Pasuk says in Parsha Shlach, he karet tikaret nefesha hiyavon avad. He karet tikaret ba'olam hazeh. Avon avad le'imat. Lav olam avad. It says that the soul will be cut off in, and its sin will be in it. Well, if the soul was already cut off, then where is its sin? So it must be it's cut off from olam hazeh, and its sin will remain. Olam Haba, Rashi says, Olam Haba is Tchiyas HaMesim. And the Iyun Yaakov and the Anaf Yosef point out that this is seemingly a kasha on the opinion of the Rambam that Tchiyas HaMesim is not Olam Haba. Here the Gemara clearly uses Olam Haba consistent with Tchiyas HaMesim. I assume the Rambam would say, just like it's a Machlokas Rishonim, it was a Machlokas Tanaim and Amoraim, whether they're the same or not. The
did we see somewhere where the double Lushan was used as one for this world and one for Olmaba?
We're going to see it. We're going to see it in another line, and you saw it because you learned Dafyomi.
Yeah.
Right. Yes, that's right here. It's right here. Amalei Rav Papa Labaye. So Rav Papa said to Abaye, Why did he have to say he kareti karet v'olamaze and avonah ba is l'olamaba? Why not just say he karet ti karet two things? One is olamaze and one is olamaba. So Abaye answered Rav Papa inu havu amrele, because they would have said to him, Dibra Torah Kishona Bnei Adam, that Hikaret Tikaret is not meaningful, because the Torah speaks B'lashon Bnei Adam. Ketanai, which is a Machlokas Tanaim, Hikaret Tikaret, Hikaret V'olam Hazeh, Tikaret L'olam Haba. It says Hikaret Tikaret, double language. Hikaret means in Olam Hazeh, and Tikaret means in Olam Haba, Dibra Rabbi Akiva. Amar lo Rabbi Shmuel, Rabbi Shmuel said to him, V'lo kvar ne'amar et Hashem hu magadef nichrata. So Rabbi Shmuel says, but it already says the in the pasuk right before that, he has cursed Hashem, and he will get cut off. He will get kares. If you're going to darshan, he karet is one, ti karet is two. What do you do with nichrata? Are there three worlds? Okay, that's even more akasha on the Rambam. Because according to the Rambam, there are three. There's Olam Hazeh, Olam Haba, Chias HaMesim. Now, Anaf Yosef says that maybe the Rambam would hold that even though there are two worlds, the Olam Haba or Olam HaNeshamos and Chias HaMesim, okay, but there's only one din that covers both. But clearly, Tosfos doesn't hold that way. So, which is not necessarily a kasha on the Rambam. Rambam doesn't have to agree with Tosos, but he leaves it with Tzarech Iyun. It's not clear.
Isn't there somebody who says that there are three Olam Hazeh, Olam Neshamos, and Olam Haba?
Well, there is. No, that's clear. There's an Olam, whatever name you call it, whether you call it Olam Neshamos, or something else, there is clearly a holding place where the neshamos are now waiting for Chias HaMesim or Olam Haba. We're going to, again, we'll talk about, there can be four different things. It can be five, because also Yom HaMashiach. There are as many as five. There's Olam Hazeh, potentially. Okay, and I'm going to use one set of names, but they could have other names, and we're going to, before we finish this perek, we will have defined these according to different Rishonim and different Amoraim. But there's Olam Hazeh, where we are right now. There's Olam HaNeshamos, where the Neshamos go after a person dies. And then, at some time in the future, in some order, which is a Machlokas too, there's Yom HaMashiach, Chias HaMesim, and Olam Haba, maybe. Or maybe Olam Vazeh, same as Chias HaMesim. Or maybe Olam Haba is the same as Olam HaNeshamos. Okay. But there are potentially five different things. So, Olam Hazeh, Olam HaNeshamos, Yom HaMashiach, Tchias HaMesim, and Olam Haba. Right. Which some of those may or may not be the same, or may or may not overlap. Okay. So Rishmael says, are there three worlds? And Rabbi Kiva doesn't argue with him. Ela v'nichratav olam hazeh, hi karet l'olam haba, hi karet ti karet, tibrak tarak l'osham b'nei adam. Rather, v'nichratav in the previous pasuk means from olam hazeh, hi karet means olam haba, and hi karet ti karet is tibrak tarak l'osham b'nei adam. The Torah speaks in the language of man. So Gemara continues. Bein Rabbi Shmuel, bein Rabbi Kiva, avunah ba mai avdilei. The pasuk says, hi karet ti karet, Avonah ba, its sin will still be in it, which Rabbi Eliezer, Rabbi Yossi said, refers to being cut off from Chias HaMesim. In other words, this person will still have his sin, as opposed to everyone else Well, that's just amazing. But Rabbi Akiva and Rabbi Shmuel both did not darshan that way. So what do they do with Avonah Ba? How mi ba'ilei l'kiditanya? They need that for the brisa. Yachol afilu asa tshuva. I might think that even if a person did tshuva, he will suffer kares in olam haba. Talmud Lomar, Avonah Ba, lo amarti ela bizman shavonah ba. Therefore it says, his sin is in him. When will he experience this kares in olam haba? Only if his sin is still with him, but if he's done tshuva in olam hazeh, then he will not experience kares in olam haba. The riff on the Ein Yaakov, Rav Yoshiyahu Pinto, he says that the way I just explained it, I snuck in something subtle, which is that if a person does tshuva in olam hazeh, he will not experience kares in olam haba. And he argues from the Gemara in Yoma that a person is chayiv kares, doing tshuva in olam hazeh won't help him with whatever aspect of kares happens in olam hazeh. Okay? Because Gemara in Yoma says, when chiluke kapara, the four different kinds of sins and the four different forms of kapara, that if a person transgressed a sin that carries kares, he cannot achieve atonement until he's suffered yisurin. And yisurin take the place of kares. But he has to be punished in olam hazeh in order to attain kapara for a sin that carries the sin of kares. A person has to suffer in olam hazeh. So his tshuva, as tshuva could perhaps reduce the level of suffering that he doesn't address, but the primary purpose of tshuva for kares is to not have kares in olam haba. What is that? We're going to put that on our list of things to talk about one day, maybe soon. But that's how it explains Gemara. So go back to a few points here. So I mentioned that Rav David Zvi Hoffman, Sheol's Shuvos Melamed Lehoil, says that he saw that the Svarim of the Kutim, I'm not sure exactly who these Kutim are, but it was a sect, that they erased the hay of Lahem and wrote Lahem. Rav Ruben Margolios points out that if they had old Hebrew script, one of the old Hebrew scripts called Ktav Libonai, it's the name of one of the old Hebrew scripts, you can find it in Wikipedia. It doesn't have its own entry, but under old Hebrew scripts, there's a reference. And there, the letter Chaf looks, it's recognizable as our letter, as our block letter Chaf. Okay, so it looks like, well, from your perspective, it looks like this. Okay, and the letter He is a backwards capital E. So it looks like this. So it's very easy to change a hey to a chaf. You just have to erase the middle line of the backwards E, and it has become, it's been changed from a hey to a chaf. It's not a drastic change like we're imagining, erase a hey and put in a chaf. It's very, very easily done.
That backwards E later became famous.
Sorry?
The backwards E later became famous on all the eye charts.
Oh, that's really a test to see if you're a Tzeduki or not.
That was an act of sabotage?
Yes, because they wanted to deny Tchias HaMeisim. That's exactly what Gemara is saying, that Rabbi Elazar Rabbi Yossi says, the joke's on you. You tried to erase those allusions to Tchias HaMeisim, but they're still there because of it says, Ikaret, Ikaret, Avonah Ba. And so you haven't accomplished anything.
So you've mentioned before about found scrolls.
Yeah.
That they're hidden. This could be a type of
these are scrolls of heretics. And they somehow survived. but we know they are. There's no question about that. The Sifri Medrash on this pasuk, instead of Rabbi Lezer, Rabbi Yossi, it has Rabbi Lezer, Rabbi Shimon ben Elazar rather, and he darshans Avonah Ba as Ela Shati Litena Tachishbon Yomadin, which is sort of this the opposite side. We're saying that if he does tshuva, he won't have kares, and he's saying if he doesn't do tshuva, he'll have to account for it in the future. We have this expression here, Dibrat Rakel Shomene Adam. The Torah speaks in the language of man. Well, what's the point? Why does a person speak that way sometimes, to use a double language? So Torah's Chaim on Bava Metzia Daf Lamed Aleph. There, the Gemara is talking about the pasuk Havet Tavitenu. You shall surely, usually English translations translate it, you shall surely give him a loan. Okay. So the Torah's Chaim says when a person wants to emphasize something, he's giving a command, and he wants to emphasize it, he repeats it, or he says double language. Clean your room, get it clean. Okay, so it's my example, not Torah's Chaim's, but so too.
Much more common in Hebrew than in English.
Okay, fine. I don't know if he ever heard it. He doesn't remember anymore. He's married now, all is forgotten. Okay. So here, the Torah is talking about giving, in this particular instance of Haveta Vitenu, the Torah is talking about giving tzedakah. A person needs encouragement to give tzedakah. So the Torah reinforces it by repeating it. That's what it means, Zivrat Zorak Shomene Adam. Not that the Torah randomly spoke in the language of man, but that in order to reinforce the message, just as a person would reinforce the message by repeating himself, so the Torah reinforces its message by repeating itself. You then have to go through all the examples where the Gemara says Dibrat Torah Shomnei Adam and figure out what the Torah is reinforcing in those particular cases. Now there are rules to when even according to the opinion that Dibrat Torah Shomnei Adam, when does this apply? We don't just randomly say it. Tosos in Bava Kama, Samach Dalet Amud Aleph, Dibur Maschil Yomar says that we only say Dibrat Torah Kashemini Adam where there's no other choice. Okay. Now, here there is a choice. Rabbi Akiva gives us another choice. Tosos in Ksubos Samach Zayman Amud Beis, Dibur Maschil Vachachmim Omrim says that where you could make a drasha, you make a drasha. You only say Dibrak Torah Kashon Bnei Adam where the drasha doesn't seem reasonable. So here the drasha doesn't seem reasonable to Rabbi Shmuel, because if you make the drasha the way Rabbi Kiva did, then you'd have a problem, because it also said Nichrata in the previous fasa. And Rabbi Kiva darshaned, hi karet, olam hazeh and olam haba. What are you going to do with v'nichrata? Are there three worlds? It's not reasonable to darshan hi karet, because it leads to a problem. So therefore, we say, dirat torah kol shomnei adam. And Tosos also addresses this concept at length in Tosos, in Sota Chavdalet Amud Aleph, Dibur Maschil Rabbi Yonatan. So Tosos starts halfway down Chaf Dalet Amud Aleph and ends halfway down Chaf Hei Amud Beis, along Tosos. And he goes through many places where individual Tanaim, Rabbi Meir, Rabbi Huda, Rabbi Yossi, seem to contradict themselves. In some places they darshan a double language. In other places they say Dibrat Torah Kol Shomnei Adam. And so Tosos gives us a rule
But the same time.
The same, right. It says Kasha, Rabbi Meir, and Rabbi Meir, Rabbi Yehuda, Rabbi Yehuda. So he gives us a rule to answer all these questions. And he goes through them one by one, which is why it's such a long Tosfos. So he says, V'nira, demanda sfirle damar tibrat Torah, the one who says that we say the Torah speaks in the language of man, modek ohechadika midrash darshinan lei. He agrees that wherever you can make a drasha, you make a drasha. V'chol hani tanai savri lahu dibrat Torah. So all these tanaim that I've asked kashas on, they all hold that dibrat Torah kashav ne'adam, that sometimes you say the Torah speaks in the language of man. But if you can make a drasha that supports something you're already darshaning, then you will make that drasha. You won't, out of the blue, say, oh, here's a double language, let's darshan it. But if I have a mesorah that the halacha is a certain way, or it's very, very logical that the halacha should be a certain way, and I need support from a pasuk, then I will make that drasha. Otherwise, I'll just say, don't make a drasha, dibrat Torah kashav ne'adam. Adam. The Torah speaks in the language of man. Ubaha pligi. So what's the machlokas then between those who say, if everyone agrees that we say dibrat Torah kashav ne'adam, then what's the machlokas? Because there clearly is a machlokas, Rabbi Shmuel and Rabbi Kiva, for example. Ubaha pligi, this is what they're arguing about. This is machlokas between the ones who say that we do say dibrat Torah kashav ne'adam and the one who says we don't. The one who says Dibrat Torah Kol Shomrei Adam, Rabbi Shmuel, says you can never learn something new from that extra language. It's simply there, as the Torah Chaim says, for reinforcement, because that's how people talk, so that's how the Torah talks. So we're not going to darshan anything from it. And he Tosso says towards the end that Rabbi Shmuel says we always say Dibrat Torah Kol Shomrei Adam. The other Tanaim agree that sometimes we say Dibrat Torah Kol Shomrei Adam, but sometimes we don't. If we have no reason to make a drasha, because then we're not. But on the other hand, if we already have a tradition that is halacha, or it's very logical to make a drasha for whatever reason, then we will make a drasha on the double language. That's what Tosa says. Sota daf chav dalet. Sefer called Melo Haroim by Yaakov Tzvi Yulis, and he lived in the 1800s, I think. Sefer published in 1880. I think he lived in the late 1800s in Galicia. And he writes, goes through many Tanaim, establish exactly what do they hold. We're not going to go into all of them. But one of the things he says is that there are other differences. For example, sometimes the double language is ish ish. So he says that, at least according to Rabbi Shimon, one of the Tanaim under discussion, that if it's ish ish, then he holds, we don't say the Torah is just speaking in the language of man. That's not a normal way to speak. Whereas if the repetition is different forms of the same word, aser to aser, ave tavitenu, tikaret tikaret. Then we do say dibrat Torah kol shomrei adam. So, a lot different, pouring different tanaim, different gemaras, a lot to explain in, you know, exactly how to understand each one. It's just a little overview. Okay. The Gemara continues. Shala Cleopatra Malkata et Rabbi Meir. The Queen Cleopatra asked Rabbi Meir. Amra, she said, page Yudches. Have it? Page Yudches. Okay. So Shalak, Cleopatra, Malkatai, Rabbi Meir. Cleopatra asked Rabbi Meir. Amra, she said, yeah, Don, this, that Cleopatra was a common name for queens of Egypt. This is not the Cleopatra of Mark Antony. This is about 100 years later, I think. Okay. Amra, she said, Yadana dechaya shachvi. She said, I know that the living will die. Dechtiv, or I'm sorry, Yadana dechaya shachvi. I know that those who are dead will come to life. She knows it's tchias amesim. Dechtiv, yatzitzu meir, keisav aretz. Pasuk says that they will sprout like grass. So I know that there will be tchias amesim. I believe in that. Apparently she knew Tehillim, and she had no question about that. Okay. Ella, but I want to know, Shem Omdim Arumim, or Bilvushem Omdim. Are they going to get up without clothes? Or are they going to get up with clothes? Amarla, he told her, Kal v'chomer mechita. Kal v'chomer from a grain of wheat. Machita shenikbara aruma. When you plant wheat, you plant it without the shell. Yotzava kama levushim, and it grows with many shells, many layers of covering. Tzadikim shenikbara levushim, alachat kama. Tzadikim were buried with many garments. Surely they will get up with garments. Rav Sadia Gaon writes in Sefer Emunos Videos, I forgot which chapter it is, but it's a chapter on Tchias HaMesim, and he writes that this Gemara, well, we had another Gemara that says that people were spending exorbitant amounts of money on funerals and fancy burial shrouds. And Rabban Gamliel saw that people were going bankrupt, paying for funerals. And so he made a takana to bury in simple shrouds, which is what we do today. Rav Sadia Gaon lived in the 9th century. In
what time period was that? Rabban
Gamliel was a Tana, so in time.
In his lifetime.
He made that takana. The funerals were getting out of control, and he made the takana to bury in simple shrouds, not fancy, you know, tuxedos and all kinds of things. Okay. So Rav Sadia Gaon, who lived about 700 years after Rabban Gamliel, he writes that the reason people were doing that was this Gemara, because the Gemara says that Mason will get up dressed. People wanted to look their best when they get up. And so they thought, you know, bury ourselves in these fancy outfits so that when we get up, we'll look really, really sharp. And that's why Rabban Gamliel's takana was necessary. You look like you have a question.
was just thinking of one time when we were doing, went to do a Tahara. I went with Jack and I forgot who else. It was in some like weird place we had never been in Virginia.
Yeah.
And we went wandering into the wrong place, and there was this like old Goyish couple there, late 80s, 90s. They're all dressed up in their finery.
Uh-huh.
I was thinking there, well, I guess the Christians didn't copy this Takana from us. They're still doing it in their tuxedos.
We knew that.
Right? But, well, that's what popped into my mind, this picture of them sitting
there. If it was an old couple, they're going for a date, so they have to dress up.
All right. It wasn't really a question. That picture popped in. Right.
Oh, okay. That was apparently the way it was once with Jews, too, until Rabbi Gamliel made the Takana. Okay. We'll come back and we'll talk about that, too. We'll talk at some point in more detail about different aspects of Tchias HaMeisim, and we'll talk about this idea of getting up dressed.
Getting up as adults versus getting up as kids.
Barbanel says that people will get up in a form that their relatives will recognize them. So the Barbanel says. Okay, we'll talk about this all another time.
Yeah, that's the big question.
Continue where they left off.
Who's getting up? Which one? Everybody?
What are the alternatives?
The last neshama that you're in.
We'll talk about that too. We'll talk about that. The simple answer is we don't. We'll talk about another time. We'll talk about another time. Sorry?
We just continue where we left off. So
Barbanel says it will be a form that relatives, that your relatives will recognize. Now, different people, okay, some people look completely different when they're 10 and when they're 90. So is it in a form that your grandparents will recognize or a form that your grandchildren will recognize? I don't know, at least right now, I don't know. Other people haven't changed much. And they're, you know, I suspect my grandmother would recognize me the way I look right now. And my grandchildren might recognize me the way I looked when I was 17. But
you might gain a connection, right? I remember we discussed, you know, years ago, the first year, idea that in Tukiyas HaMeisim, people have kind of a shell coating over their body.
We never discussed that.
Like nails, like fingernails.
We never discussed that. Not with me. Not that we're aware of. Okay. Well, we will talk about all these things, okay, and different opinions about them too. Okay. Continuing the Gemara, page Yotet in Yaakov. Amar le Kesar le Rav Gamliel. Kesar said to Rav Gamliel, "Amritu deshachmei chaye. You say that those who are lying down, those who are dead, will come to life. Ahavu afra, afra mikachaye. They've already turned to dust. Will dust come to life? Amrale brate. So the daughter of the Kesar said to Rabbi Gamliel, Shavke, anamadranale. Let me answer him. Shnei yotzrim yesh birenu. There are two potters in our city. Echad yotzer min amayim, echad yotzer min atit. One makes pottery out of water, it's a mashal. Okay. And one makes pottery out of clay. Ezen Meshubach, which one's more impressive? Okay. Amarla, the emperor said, Zesh Yotzer Min HaMayim. Well, if there's somebody who can make pottery out of water, that's pretty impressive. So, Amrale, Min HaMayim Tsar, Min HaTit L'Kol Shekein. So she said, Hashem created man the first time out of liquid, out of the, you know, the liquid that the man and the woman contribute at the time of conception. Okay? So you think you can't make people out of dust? You can make them out of liquid the first time.
The cloning concept. It's need a little fragment of you.
Right. Yeah. Well,
I don't need a whole body.
So we don't have this question because we know about cloning, but the Roman emperor didn't. Okay. Yitzi pointed out to me before the shiur, and I meant to mention this yesterday, and I forgot. Okay. There are a lot of things that we can understand better with our scientific knowledge, such as Yediyah and Bechira, that we talked about yesterday, two seemingly absolutely contradictory things. Philosophers struggled with this. How could two contradictory things both be true? Okay. Well, an example that we know today is what physics says about light. Light is both a wave and a particle. Okay. And in physics, these things are totally contradictory, but they're both proven to be true. So with our knowledge of physics, we are able to accept that two absolutely contradictory things are true. Ancient philosophy couldn't deal with that. Okay. And similarly, as you're pointing out, we know about cloning. So you can make the emperor of Rome didn't know about that, but his daughter told him, if God can make a person out of a tiny drop of liquid, then certainly he can make a person out of dirt. Devei Rav Shmuel Tana, kal v'chomer miklei zchuchit. Braisa Rav Shmuel is taught, kal v'chomer from glass. Ma klei zchuchit amalan v'ruch basar adam. Nishbru yesh lem takana. Glass is made through the breath of a person. The glass blower blows into the glass. And if it breaks, it can be fixed. You melt it and start all over again. So basar v'adam sh'ruchu shakadosh baruch hu. So a person who was created with the breath of Hashem, Pasuk says, "Vaypach ba'pav nishmat chayim." Hashem breathed into Adam Rishon. Alach al kama b'kama. Certainly, he can. If he breaks, he can be fixed. So that is the some additional proofs to. Well, these are not really proofs to Tchias HaMesim, but more answering challenges to how could Tchias HaMesim be, and what will Tchias HaMesim be like. Okay, we'll stop there.